So, good morning. I'll have to be like this today because you're really very spread out. Over the last couple of sessions that Alice did, so not last week, but the two previous to that, she talked about the mind, and she was very good and talked about it in great detail, as in the unconscious, the subconscious, and the conscious mind. I'm going to recap really briefly. This is hard for me because this is the scientific bit, so I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to expand on it in a slightly different way than she did. So hopefully it'll all tie together and make sense. So our unconscious mind is the part of our mind which is our storage space, I think. It's our database. It's where everything that happens to us, all our belief systems, our value systems, life circumstances, everything that we go through gets stored in our unconscious mind. Yeah. Our subconscious mind is the bit that filters the information that we may need at any point in time. So it's what we might need. It filters from our unconscious mind to our subconscious mind. And then it comes into our conscious mind, which is the here and now, the things that I need to think to use for this situation now. Is that about right? Yeah. That's the scientific bit done.
Yeah, that's good.
That was all right. Fine. I'm not going to talk about that. So, our conscious mind is what we are aware of and we focus on. Now, the fact is, I'm going to come forward a little bit. The fact is, we live how we believe. So what's stored in our unconscious mind, all the circumstances of life, everything that we go through, our belief systems, they all get stored in our unconscious mind. And whether we mean it or not, we live according to what we believe, that we don't always know that we believe, because it's back there somewhere. So what's stored in our unconscious mind is what we live out of. So our reactions, our behaviours, our attitudes, everything is in our database somewhere back there. The way that we speak, our reactions, our everything. So trauma, the things that we go through, they all get stored as memory in our unconscious mind. Now, up to knowing God, for some of us, we may not know God yet. Some of us, we might not have been in a relationship for God very long, and some of us, it might be for years and years and years, but there will be up to a point in our time where we lived independently from God, and we were led by our soul. So we're made up of mind, body, soul, and spirit, and we live out of our soul. That's kind of our personality of who we are. And we learn how to live from the world around us. So everything that we do is learnt. Outside of God, we have no choice but to look after ourselves, to learn how to live, how to cope, what to believe. I'm in charge of me. I'm in control. I do it my way. And we call that here, we call it the DIY pathway, which is the way that's independent from God. And until we enter into that relationship with God, we have no choice but to do it that way. When we start following Jesus, when we start pursuing a relationship with God, things need to change, because the idea is that we go from me looking after myself, being in charge, doing things my way, to doing things God's way. And that means being led by my spirit, because we're body, soul, and spirit, which is a bit of a battle at times, because up to a certain point, I've been in charge, I've been in control, I've done it. And then walking with God, pursuing Jesus, God needs to be in charge. So it's a whole different ball game. And we need to relearn, and we need to reprogram, and we need to be healed and restored and transformed from all the ways and the messes that we've got ourselves into and all the muck that life has chucked at us. God wants to heal us and set us free from. So all the programs set up in me up to that point will be to live independently from God. And now God wants me to be dependent on him. So I need to learn to live from out of my spirit, body, soul, and spirit, being led and guided by God. Now, as we know here, our spirit is open to heaven. We have free access into heaven. There's nothing that God keeps from us. When we reconnect to God in relationship, heaven is open to us and we can access the heavenly realms. And the idea is that in my spirit is where God lives, is where heaven I have access to. That flows from deep within me, out from my spirit, through my body, through my soul, sorry, through my body, ultimately transforming me and changing the world around me, because I carry God in me, which I can release to see things changed on the outside. Now, that's God's heart for us. That's who we are. The problem is that there are filters and blockages in my soul which will stop this. And they are formed from my life up to this point in time. Even if I've been pursuing God in relationship with God for many years, I probably still have one or two blockages and filters that God wants to transform. And they sit in my soul, those blockages. And we have gateways in our soul, those areas that we've looked at imagination recently. We're looking at the mind at the moment. So our mind, our will, our emotions, our choice, reason, our conscience, they're all areas in our soul which can become block, and we can have hindrances. And one of the biggest hurdles to being everything that God wants us to be, to walking in our identity, to pursuing relationship with God, fulfilling destiny, all of those things, one of the biggest hurdles is our mind, our thought patterns, our belief systems, our value systems, our coping mechanisms, which have all been developed independently from God's best. And there we have it. We have the DIY way, which is me up to this point in time. I'm going to say up to that point in time, as in today, because we've all got things that God wants to do with us, versus God's best. So we have God's way versus our way. And life shapes us and robs us and causes us to be the people that we are today. So my background, your background, and upbringing has shaped the way that you think. My early years, where my foundations for life were set. So whatever it was in my very early foundational years, I think they say up to 6 is a really significant time for people to form those belief systems, but probably even earlier than that. So my early years were where my foundations for life were set. The environment I was brought up in, the atmosphere in the home, how I was treated, how I saw other people being treated and relate, forms the basis of my thought patterns and my belief systems. So what you're told often enough becomes part of you. So words are really, really powerful in the formation of all these things. So if you're constantly told you're no good, or you're useless, or that you're a failure, what are you going to believe? That you're no good, that you're useless, and that you're a failure. You're fat, you're ugly, you're not loved, you're unlovable, in fact. Those things become normal for us. They become part of our life. They're neither right nor wrong. They just become who we are, and we build our life foundations upon those things. As I say, you live what you believe. So if you believe them, that's the way that you live your life. If you're told everything's your fault, what do you grow up believing? Everything's your fault. So if you believe you're a failure, you will fail. If you believe you're not wanted, you will live out of rejection. If you believe you can't change, you won't. So it's really important that we start to recognize where those patterns, where those values and belief systems have come in and formed our personality and who we are. Now, because we live outside of God until we reconnect in relationship with him, and we've heard a lot about sin and the sin, and really what we talk about here is that a lost identity. God always knew us. He always loved us. That we were all created in eternity in God's heart. We are so precious to him. We all have a plan, a purpose, a destiny. His love is so intense for us that it will blow our minds if we but knew it. Because we enter and are born into a world that is fallen and lost identity, we don't know it. And so we build our lives not knowing that until we can reconnect with God. And that's where the process we are now is Jesus. He paid that debt. He cancelled that lost identity. What Jesus did for us was enabled us to be reconnected in relationship with God because he loves us so much. So in essence, we are all God's children. We are all his sons and daughters. And he wants to restore the truth of that to us and deal with all the ways where lies have come in and robbed us. So we need to be pursuing a restored identity of what God says about us. Now, some things just happen when we reconnect with God, because something has to happen. We may suddenly get a revelation that God loves us. We may suddenly realize that actually Jesus enables us to have a relationship with God as Father. There are some things that happen on the inside of us. The Bible says that we are forgiven. There are things that are done that we can come into and enjoy. And there are some things in our life that are a process. And we kind of spend our lives then working on this process of transformation to come back in line with everything that God says about us. Now, we have an enemy. So we have God who loves us very, very much. And we have an enemy who's deceived us all and told us that God doesn't love us. He's not a good God, that we can never be good enough. And that's when we spend our lives trying to earn favor. And he'll have a field day with us on our wrong belief systems and our patterns that have been natural for us for such a long time. The battle for victory in our lives is often won in our mind, in our thinking. It's the place where it all goes on. If we could have a data reset button, it would be very simple, wouldn't it? Start fresh. Unfortunately, it's not that simple, and we have some work to do. But the good news is that Jesus has won our victory. We can be victorious. We don't need to live defeated and in prison and as victims, which again, we've looked at really recently. So Jesus paid the price because he loved us so much for us to be free, healed, restored, and transformed into everything that God has for us. So outside of God, as I've said, we need to cope alone. And all the trauma, all the circumstances, all the memories that we have been through get stored in our unconscious mind. We have had no choice to live like that. So if life has caused us to be rejected, we live out of rejection, insecurity, inadequacy, fear. Whatever life has thrown at us, we have to cope with and get on with. But we learn to live out of those filters. So now we're saying that we're in a relationship with God. We have a whole new belief system that we can live in that is true for us, that is done. But we have a bit of a process acknowledging where we've been robbed and coming into God's best for us. So in God, we can live in forgiveness. How wonderful to know that we are forgiven, that we can live in that forgiveness, that we are loved. God is love. End of. God is love. He's not angry. He's not harsh. He's not waiting for us to get it wrong. He just loves us. And we can live in that love relationship with him. Peace, joy, security, belonging. How many of us just want to feel like we belong? Actually, you do. You belong to God. But life might have lied to you and told you that you don't. Healing. It's who God is. He is our healer. How many of us struggle with our health, but God's promises are there for us that we can enter into and apply. Knowing God as Father, again, such a tricky thing for some of us, but God wants us to have this revelation. But for most of us, this new value system, God's truth, it gets stuck in our minds. It gets stuck here because it hits our coping mechanisms and our belief systems and our life experience that say, no computing. Doesn't tie up. The truth of what God says comes up against our experience. And you might think, well, how can I surrender my life to God? Nobody's ever been for me. I've had to do everything myself. You want me to surrender to a God? He's just going to hurt me. He's going to abandon me. I've always had to look after myself. How do I know God's going to look after me? How can God forgive me after what I did? I don't deserve God's love. How do I know God will come through for me? Now, these are just some tiny examples of the things that get stuck in our mind, and we filter truth out because it gets stuck in here. We don't realise our mindsets affect us in this way because it's just me. It's just normal. It's just who I am. But it draws on that storage in our unconscious mind and it filters it forward. My whole family were worriers. We're all anxious in my family. Those are things that are commonly said. We've all got mental health issues. We all struggle with arthritis. Things, we're all fearful. We all tend to be very negative in my family. It's just the way that we are. The good news is, that's not what God says. That might be our natural experience, but that is not what God says about us, and God can heal us and transform us. There can be family patterns that have been brought down through the generations that God wants to set us free from. Trauma, things that have happened that have caused us to live in deep fear, that then sits in our cells, that causes these reactions. God wants to heal us from them. Our victory is complete in Jesus, but we need to work it out on a day-to-day basis. Some things naturally change. I'm sure if you think about your relationship with God, some things over time you suddenly think, oh, I don't think that way anymore. I used to think like this, and now I don't. Because as we encounter God, as we know him as love, as we walk with Jesus, he will transform certain things in us. And we can be different because he is love. And when we have encounters and activations and all the things that we do here, what we're saying is the best way to be transformed is a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Meet Jesus, who is love, who is truth, who is life. He will transform you, and that's wonderful. But sometimes it's not quite that simple. And you may recognize that you have wrong thinking. You may recognize where your reactions aren't quite what you'd like them to be. Something happens, and you automatically think or react in a certain way. It's like a knee-jerk reaction. It's like, bang, you've just reacted in a certain way. Second Corinthians 10 says, "For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of God." What that means is in our minds, we have fortresses, strongholds, lofty thoughts, things that have set themselves up against God's truth. And we need to be in a process to break them down. A stronghold is a negative pattern of thought burned into the mind through repetition over time or one traumatic event. A practiced and habitual way of thinking whose function is to control the thinking and prevent any thinking that contradicts it. Does that make sense? Sometimes something happens and you're bang, bang, bang. You can't even help it. It's just your reaction, your thoughts are just there. And you're like, where's that come from? It means that in our mindsets, in our unconscious mind, something has happened and the natural reaction is bang. It's a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable something we know is contrary to the will of God. So when that happens, whether it's about God loving you or being forgiven or accepted or any of those things, and you have a negative reaction, you need to start identifying that's a stronghold. That's the opposite of what God says. That's not going to make it go away, but it's going to give us a basis to say, I don't need to accept that. I can move forward from it. So that's the first thing. A stronghold is a predisposition to think a certain way, which is what we've said. A knee-jerk reaction in your mind that you cannot help. Okay, so that's partly what we're going to look at, really, is those things that are there through experience, through life circumstances that are robbing us of who we are in God and what God says. And trauma, those negative events that happen to us that cause such wounding and pain, they lodge there and they sit in our mindsets, in our emotions, in our body, in our physical cells. That trauma sits everywhere. But today we're going to deal with it in the concept of our mind. So basically, what a stronghold is, it's what God says hits against something that has been established in your mindset. And that becomes a battle, because then you have the truth of what God is saying versus my life's experience. And that's where we are with it. That's where we have some choices to make. Are we going to stay in that place of, well, this is who I am, this is what life has thrown at me, this is my beliefs, this is how I've managed to cope, and remain in prison? Or are we going to say, okay, this may be painful and I don't really understand it, but I am going to allow God into this place of pain to set me free and restore me so that I can be who he says that I am. So what will you believe? What may have been true in our natural life is no longer what we need to settle for. Now we're walking with God, living as his child. He is restoring our identity. We are supernatural. We are spiritual beings. And we need to base our whole lives on what God says about him, us, and his value system. And we need to live according to that. Romans 2:12 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Another version says, "Do not allow this world to mold you in its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. As a result, you will be able to discern what God wills and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete." So that transformation takes place on the inside of us. We can't change it out here. We can try changing our behavior. We can try changing our attitude. That's not what it's about. It's about finding the root of why we think like we think and allowing God to deal with that for us. And a whole pile of transformation needs to go on. So the most important thing for us is our relationship with God. Unfortunately, we bring our natural experience with us into our relationship with God, and we see God through the filters that we have set up, and we see him often the same way as we see our natural fathers. So for some of us who haven't had particularly good experiences of a father, when we start talking about God as father, in our unconscious mind, we immediately, our subconscious draws on those experiences. So if I couldn't trust my father, I'm unlikely to be able to trust God. If my father was absent, I'm unlikely to think God is going to stick around and be there for me. Probably going to expect him to abandon me and leave me. If my natural father was harsh, I'm probably going to put that onto God as well. And we've done a lot of work here in the church unpacking the whole thing of an angry God and just saying how God loves us and that God is love. But that will hit against our natural experience, and we need healing from that if it's true. If we've had to earn love and acceptance from our natural dad, then we can think that we need to earn it from God. Now, these aren't conscious thoughts. These aren't thoughts that you would logically think. Some of them can be irrational, but they're stored deep inside, and that's what we draw on from our experience and our expectation. So when you hear God loves you so much, there's nothing you can do to earn God's love. His love is unconditional. You can be like, yeah, whatever. It can be like water off a duck's back. It doesn't get any further than here. It's like, yeah, talk to the hand. Because we set in place things to protect us. We don't want to be hurt. So if we're hurt and we have negative experience, we put walls up all around us, so that we won't be hurt again. And those are some of the things that we need to ask God to dismantle. So we need to identify in ourselves where we have wrong thinking. Where have we been hurt? Where have we been wounded? What do we find difficult to accept? Because when we don't believe what God says, it's called unbelief. And it will keep us from living in God's promises and living in the freedom that he's got for us. So we develop coping mechanisms to protect ourselves. They can come from inner vows we make. I will never trust anyone again. No one will ever hurt me like that again. I will never. They become so ingrained in us and part of us that we don't see that they have become like a prison. The walls around our heart become strong and impenetrable, and our mind just filters any threat out. Familiar spirits whisper in our ears, confirming what we already believe, that we are useless, that we are worthless, and the cycle continues. Who has those little voices that just whisper, 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 drag us down? They're called familiar spirits, and they're familiar because we've agreed with them. We've given them access. We've partnered with them. They can be generational, but once we agree with them, they're just there to rob us and to keep us from God's best for us. What kind of things can that be? Rejection, fear, mistrust, betrayal, don't trust them. Religious strongholds, pride, self-pity, guilt, insecurity, inadequacy, shame, condemnation, rebellion. I'm sure we could go on. I'm sure we could be here for a week and still be writing things down that can rob us. But we buy into them and we partner with them and we agree with them. And so we give them power in our mindsets. Your belief system determines your thoughts. Your thoughts determine your actions. The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way that you act. You cannot have a positive life and a negative mindset. So we need to be very aware that we see life and people through our mindset filters. What I perceive to be the truth may not actually be true. Listen to me on that. What I perceive, my perception, will be how things seem to me, but it might not be the actual truth, because I fit a situation into my belief system, into my filters, and I will see everything through that. So it may be real for me, but it might not be the truth, and we need to be very aware of that. So when I have negative mindsets in place, it will adversely affect everything. It will affect my relationship with God, and it will affect my relationship with people. I may not be very pleasant to be around. I could be cynical, judgmental, insecure. What comes out of my mouth might not be very pleasant because it will reflect what's going on the inside and what I'm withdrawing from my unconscious mind. And it's interesting, obviously I work here in the day centre, and the other day that there's a gentleman that I talk to every day, have long conversations with every day. I try and make a fuss of everybody. I try and talk to everybody. And he said to me about a week ago, "You don't talk to me no more." I said, "I do." He said, "No, 2 days I've come in and you've ignored me. You haven't even spoken to me." He said, "Have you gone off me?" I said, "I'm really sorry." I said, "But I didn't actually even see you come in. Was I talking to someone else?" "Well, you might have been," he said. His perception was that I didn't like him anymore and I'd ignored him. In fact, I'd rejected him. That wasn't the truth. I probably genuinely was talking to someone else at that point in time. But can you see? He was in a right old tizzy. I apologised. I said, "I'm so sorry. That's not my intention. I wouldn't do that." And he was like, "All right then." But can you see how our perceptions, unchecked, they can really cause us problems? And we can put that onto God. I may feel God doesn't love me. I'm unlovable. And therefore, I feel rejected by him. Now, that's going to be real for me. But is it the truth? Everything we talk about here is God is love. Because he's love. Because God just loves. And he loves me. And he loves you. He loves us all. Because that's who he is. But for me, I may have a reality that says, God doesn't love me because I'm unlovable. Either you're very unlucky and you're the one person that God doesn't actually love, or there could be some blockages and hindrances in your mindsets that are in the way that God wants to deal with. Because if life has treated you like that, and circumstances and events and traumas have come along and made you think that you're unlovable, that will stop you receiving God's love, and he wants to deal with those things. So there's a wrong belief system in your mind, which could be, as I said, a result of a trauma, memory, bad experience, and we put that on towards God. Rejection may have been part of our life to this point in time, and therefore we expect it. That stronghold will be hit up against every time that you hear God loves you. And it will, you bat it right out of court. Nope, you don't love me. Nope, I'm unlovable. Not after work. It will just be hit there. You can't try and change these things. It's hard work. I've done it. Try and be different. It's not about that. It's about letting God demonstrate and reveal his love to you and inviting him into those places of pain so that he can heal you and change you. So we need to acknowledge the wound firstly. We need to identify that there is a wound on the inside of us. If you don't, you'll never feel like you'll belong. You'll never feel loved. You'll never feel like you fit or be accepted. You won't pursue your destiny because these things will be in the way. So in your soul, there may be a memory that God wants to heal. You may have made these vows that we talked about. Words spoken are very, very powerful. But you will live defeated and robbed of what God says about you. My emotions and my pain are real. But unhealed, they will steal my joy. They will steal my peace and they will steal my identity. The mind and the emotions, they work really closely together, but our mind is the key to freedom. Bringing emotion, I can bring my emotions in line with my mind. If I don't, I'll be unstable, double-minded, all over the place. There's always got to be a route for a wrong belief system, and we just need God, Jesus, to show us what it is. I know week before last, Alice did a really powerful engagement activation along the timeline. We can ask God to go back on our timelines and show us where these roots, where these things come in to bring healing and restoration. We need to be careful that we don't feed our wrong thinking, because every time we agree and partner with a lie, we make it worse for ourselves. Once we identify an issue, let's pursue freedom. Let's ask God to deal with it. Life's experience may tell us that nothing good ever happens to us, and we may have memories that would add up to that. But God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. God says, I created you in eternity. God says, or there's a verse that says, how vast are the sum of the thoughts that God has for us. We are so precious to him. So now that we are walking with God, we enter a whole new world of promises. Those promises were always there. They were always true. But once we enter that relationship with him, we can start taking hold of those promises and do things God's way and stop our DIY trying to fix ourselves way, because, quite frankly, it doesn't work very well, does it? Our unconscious and subconscious inclinations will always be to do things ourselves. This is what the Bible calls our flesh. A flesh is the tendency to live independently from God and veer towards doing things ourselves. I like to think it like a supermarket trolley. You're in the supermarket and you're pushing your trolley and you want to go over here, but your trolley automatically is, and you're fighting it back. Sometimes we need to be really firm with our flesh, because we will have a tendency to want to do things ourselves, and we need to retrain our thinking and our beliefs and establish God's foundation. Live by faith according to what God says, and not our previous experience, because quite frankly, God knows best. Although our minds may scream in the opposite direction, the more we are able to surrender, the more God will prove faithful, and we will offload our baggage, because then we will trust him and we will want him to go deeper. My phone is a special little phone and it hasn't got a lot of memory on it, and it comes up with this thing that says optimized system. And it means that it wants to get rid of the stuff that's not necessary, because I'm getting to the end of my storage space and I put it through a cleaning program. That's what we need to do. We need to go through a cleaning program with God. That was really technical, wasn't it? I made that up all on my own. We have an enemy who's a liar, a deceiver. He wants to keep us from God's best. And he will do everything to rob us, to deceive us, to destroy us. And the place that this takes is in our mindsets. And we need to identify that. We need to be aware of it. All thought patterns contrary to God will hinder us in our relationship with God. We are not helpless in this battle. I don't know if you're anything like me, but sometimes if I'm not in the best of places, my mind goes... And when everybody's in the wrong, and we know our mindsets can be a bit of a battleground. Am I the only person here? Truth is, when we don't take authority in our mindsets, that's how it can be. It can be like a battleground. The good news is the victory has been won. Jesus has already done everything for us to live in peace. Bible says we have the mind of Christ. I've no idea what that looks like really in reality, but it's a process and a journey that we're on, that we have a spirit of a sound mind. We can live in peace. How amazing is that? Nothing broken, nothing missing. Renewing our mind is the way that we can do that. Do not allow this world to mold you in its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. As a result, you will be able to discern what God wills and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete. Renewing our mind. We learn one way. We can be reprogrammed. It just takes a bit of time. We can learn God's way. So you are not a helpless victim. You are an overcomer. You're a child of God. You are seated in heavenly places. The enemy only has as much authority in our minds as we give him. And sometimes that's a hard thing to hear because you're like, you don't understand what goes on in my mind. No, but we can invite Jesus in there. Jesus understands. He is the truth. And we can engage with Jesus, have a truth encounter with Jesus and start to change things. So you need to know what lies you're believing. And then you can start applying the truth because truth will expose lies. It's like a light gets turned on. And darkness is exposed, and it can't stay then. When the truth comes, when the light comes, you can like, wow, we can move forward. God's given us incredible tools. He's given us forgive and release. Now, for any root that you have on the inside which has caused you damage, which is a wound, a trauma, there is a debt there. Something has happened to you which has caused you to react in a certain way and build a belief system or a coping mechanism around it. You don't have to stay in that place because we can invite Jesus in there. We need to identify that root. And the key to freedom in all of this stuff is forgiveness. Oh, you might think you've got no idea what I've been through. No, I don't. But I do know that Jesus does and that forgiveness works and that you do not need to be held to the past by inviting Jesus in, identifying that debt, cancelling it and allowing God to transform and restore you into newness. We can exchange those things that have happened to us. As Joe said previously, we can bring them to the cross and exchange all the rejection, the insecurity, the inadequacy, all the stuff that has caused us to have these wrong mindsets for the positive things that God gives to us. For some of us, we may need more than that. And again, God's given us tools. He's given us lie busting. He's taught us how to come to the courts of accusation. He's taught us about timeline redemption. There are many things that we can do to pursue our healing. But we need to acknowledge where we have partnered and bought in with these things. And we need to repent and renounce of agreeing with them so that we can be free. Now, we all have things that hinder us. And for me, I've realized recently again, which is a bit of a... My first reaction if someone asks me to do something is like, can't. I can't. Just like, phew. Having looked at this week, I'm like, that appears to be a stronghold because it's the initial... It doesn't really matter what it is. If somebody says, could you do this? Nope, can't. End of. So I'm pursuing that one at the moment. I've got as far as thinking it must be tied into a fear of failure somewhere because I don't want to get it wrong. I can't do it, so I can't get it wrong. So I don't know what that route is, but I am pursuing that one. It doesn't have to be massive, huge things. It's just things that hinder us. And another stronghold that I would have said that I was free from mostly is I don't like change. In the past, I haven't liked change. I've had a fear of change. And again, I've said it in this setting that God's shown me that. And whether it's at work, in the church, at home, whatever it is, I don't like change. I like to be comfortable. I like to know what's going on. And that's it. I thought I was okay with that one. Until over the weekend, Mike's been saying some stuff to me about how things might change. And I'm like, no, but. And I'm like, ah, bit more work to do on that one then. God's not standing there with a big stick waiting to beat us when we see these things. It's just like, oh no, Lord, I don't want to be like this. And inviting him back into those places for even more healing, to deal with even more roots. We've all got them, funnily enough. It's not about trying really hard because that really doesn't work. It is about allowing God to do it. So how do we deal with wrong thinking? We need to take thoughts captive, which is what the verse that I read was. And what we want to do is learn to identify where our reactions are wrong, where we can go off down this rabbit hole, go off on wrong thinking. We need to identify for ourselves, where am I vulnerable? Where are my thoughts not right in this thing? Which comes to temptation. Temptation. We tend to think temptation is an awful thing. Actually, temptation is only the point of entry of a wrong thought when it comes into your mind, which wants to take you into a negative place. Temptation is only the thought. And what we need to do is recognize for ourselves, what's your vulnerable area? What's my vulnerable area? Well, where a thought comes, it's easy for me to go off down a rabbit hole, because we are all so unique, we are all individual, we are all different. And what will be a vulnerable area to me, which is probably to do with self-worth, self-esteem, all those things I don't like, you know, that's where my mind can easily go into some fears and things. I need to identify straight away when those thoughts can't start to come so that I can deal with them then and there. And that might be a little process. For other people, their temptations are going to be very, very different. For instance, there's no point me getting tempting thoughts about drugs because it doesn't interest me. For some people, that's going to be the key, where you need to learn to grab things there and then and to deal with them. So we are all unique and we need to identify our own vulnerable areas. The point of temptation is to make you go off track, to make you make a bad decision at that entry point. But we have a choice. My way, I'll go with it, even if it's wrong thinking, not necessarily wrong action, or God's way. Actually, that's not what God wants for me. I'm going to grab hold of that, and I'm not going to act to it. So I can be negative, I can be not. So as I say, we all have vulnerable areas, and we need to identify them for ourselves. It could be behavior issues, but it might not be. It can be mindsets to do with self-worth, anger, unbelief, pride, negativity, pornography, fear, anything, gossip, you know, something comes, oh, I need to tell you this. Oh, that's not very good, is it? We have choices to make that we need to learn about. So I'm going to read this diet skit, and I'm sure most of you have probably heard this before, but I still think it's really good. This is how we need to be and identify those mindsets in us which are not good. So I'm going to go for a walk. I'm off chocolate at the minute, not eating chocolate. I'm going to go for a walk to the grocery shop. Okay. Well, I'm going to go to a walk, but I won't go near the grocery shop because it's got chocolate in it. Well, I'll walk past it, but I won't go in. Actually, I will go in and I'll walk down the chocolate aisle, but I won't pick up any chocolate. I'll just pick it up, but I won't buy it. I can buy it, but I won't open it. I will open it, but I won't even smell it. Well, I can smell it, but I won't taste it. I'll taste it, but I won't eat it. It's gone. And that is classically how temptation works, where we need to identify those mindsets, whatever they may be to do with. I really lost the battle when I decided to go in the grocery shop, didn't I? It was a foregone conclusion. If I really didn't want to eat chocolate, I shouldn't have gone to the grocery shop. And that's where we need to be with our mindsets. You know, if I'm allowing God to work on my self-esteem, I need to recognize straight away if self-pity is an issue. As soon as I start to get a poor me, I need to deal with it. I'm like, no, I'm not going there. Because once you have pondered something, it's a lot harder to walk away. So whatever, if there are behavior things or are there mindsets, we need to be really, really careful. So where are you being robbed? Lost machine. Be accountable with your thoughts. If you are struggling and God is challenging you or wanting you to move forward with a mindset, a belief system which is wrong, be accountable with it. Bring those things into the light before you go any further with them. It's better to admit you're struggling in your thinking and then not act than to keep quiet because of shame and then act anyway. That's who we are. We're in relationship. We're in discipleship. We need to be here for each other. So we're not here to judge. We're here to help each other to move forward. Because a person who won't take responsibility for their mindsets will not move forward and will not be able to live in freedom. But God has called you for such a time as this. He has incredible things for each one of us. And part of our wrong mindsets will keep us from that. So you've been chosen to play an important part in history, in God's plan, in God's purposes. Now, I don't know where you are in your relationship with God, but that's the fact. And these things of life want to keep us from pursuing that destiny. God has chosen you. He's chosen me. And he wants us to come into everything he has for us. Don't let our mindsets, our boxed-in mindsets, rob us and keep us from that. So, I think I'll stop there. It's just to say that whatever in your mind that you may struggle was, there's a truth in God that will set you free. So if you feel that rejection is an issue for you, God says, I have called you by name. You are mine. That's what God says about each one of us. If you're insecure, that's an issue of life. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. If fear is an issue, God says, cast your fear on the Lord and he will sustain you. Guilt, condemnation, shame. Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How amazing is that? No matter what's happened to us, no matter what we've done, we don't need to carry it. Mistrust, God is faithful. Hopelessness. How many of us have had situations where we felt hopeless? And as soon as something happens, that mindset kicks in. It's like there's no point, nothing will change, blah, blah. I've been there lots of times. Bible says nothing is impossible for God. And actually, that's my experience, really. It just still hits up against things in my mind. Insignificant. If you feel nothing, no, you don't fit, you don't belong, you have no purpose, God says, I know the plans I have for you. Whatever is in your mindset that is robbing you, there is a truth. And we are going to encounter Jesus, who is the truth. And Graham's actually going to do the activation. He's disappeared. So I just want to, I don't know what he's going to do. Anyway, I just want to encourage you to bring whatever mindset God may have shown you this morning, which is going to rob you from the best. I want to encourage you to bring it and engage with Jesus as the truth and see it transformed. Here he is. If you feel that you need some help, if you feel that you're stuck and you need some help, then just ask someone because we're all here and in this together. Should I do a little dance? That would be scary. Do the floss thing, I can't do that.
Okay, I was looking for some props, but I think they've gone missing. God put on my heart about the stones. There was a bag of stones here somewhere, and I can't find them. But stones. Right, we're just going to enter into an encounter with God. I'm just going to encourage you just to close your eyes.
Okay.
We're just going to, again, just simply, while using your imagination, picture that door. The handle's on your side.